Namaste. Welcome to Buddha's teaching. My name is Soti Tim. First of all, I'd like to pay respect to the Triple Gems. I'd like to pay respect to the Buddha. I'd like to pay respect to the Dharma. And I'd like to pay respect to the Sangha. Hello again, everyone. Glad to be here again with you all today at this time. Hope everyone is doing okay. So I was sitting down having lunch and a little normal regular discussion with my wife the other day. We just have, normal just sit down lunch. And my wife, she's also trying to learn about Buddha's teaching, about the mind, how the mind works and all that. So she's catching on a little bit here, a little bit there, which is good, because the mind is a big, humongous ship that does not turn overnight. It takes time to make the change. It takes time to make the turn. But as long as you keep changing it, it will make a change. Anyway, so she was talking. He said about something, about some people who were, about somebody she knows. And she noticed that, there are people who she knows, they like to look around, they like to compare, about the way they look, about what they possess, whether they have nice thing to wear or whatnot. And if they dress better than others, they feel good and happy. But if others dress better than them, they're not happy. They have, talk not nice about people behind their back, showing jealousy and all that. So, and of course, my wife, she heard it. And she mentioned to me that, before, when I hear those kind of remarks from people, when people talk about when people gossip, talk about these people, about that people, showing jealousy and all that stuff. My wife said, I used to have this feeling about them that, oh, this person, she's not good. She is full of ego, right? She is not a good person and all that. But lately, she said, I stopped thinking about that. She said, lately, I stopped making judgment about them. She said, lately, I start to see that, oh, that is called jealousy, that is called anger, that is, the gossiping call from, is called, has its root from greed and all that. And when she recognized that in other person, and instead of having this negative feeling or thought about them, she start asking herself. Okay? She start asking herself, say, huh, what about me? Do I have those feelings also? See, now she stop thinking about what other people say or do. Okay? Instead of reacting, well, at least not 100% yet, but she's learning. She said, instead of judging and calling people, I mean, you know, not out loud in her mind about this person is this, that person is that, she said, what about me? What about myself? Do I have that kind of thinking in my mind also? Do I have that feeling of jealousy when I see somebody has wear something better than I have? If when I see somebody have something nicer than I have, do I have that feeling also? See, now she starts asking herself, okay, about her own mind. Now she's questioning her own mind, and that is exactly what we all need to do. Instead of looking at others, we need to look at ourselves. Look at our own mind. Observe our own reaction to things, to what we see, to what we hear, right? To what we smell, taste, and touch, and all that. We have to start looking inward instead of just looking out there. We start to ask ourselves, do I have that? If I still have all of those that other people have, I need to make that change. You see? Because you know, because she knows at least, that is not a good thing to do. Being jealous with someone, you know, or gossiping behind others. She says that is not a good thing to do. So then she asks herself, hey, do I do that? Because that's not something that I want to do. See, that's how a change happened within a person. Okay? Before, she never think of about her own mind. When she hears something like that, she would react like upset, you know, and frustrated and stuff. She would always, you know, she would, you know, vent her feeling, you know, and let me know about this and that, or this, that person said this, or, you know, all that. But now she's changed. She said, hey, okay, so that person does whatever that person does. But what about me? Do I do that also? Do I have that? So once you flip that, okay, and then you start looking inward, asking yourself, there's something that happened here, okay? Instead of being frustrated, instead of being mad at whatever the person say or do, she instead looking inward and say, hey, I better watch myself about this. Oh, I think I still have that also, which now I need to watch my own reaction to things, my own jealousy. Now, because she does that, the negative feeling is not there. You see, before, the negative feeling that she had was, you know, being upset, right? Being frustrated with that other people. But now that she stopped thinking about them and thinking about herself, her mind is too busy thinking about her own action or reaction and not to do those kind of unwholesome things, her mind is too busy and too occupied and concentrate on doing something good to change herself to be somebody, something to be a better person, she forgot about being mad. You see, she forgot to be upset or angry with other people, what other people say or do. You see the effect of that change. Okay. When you start flipping things, you switch it around. Instead of reacting to what people say or do, instead you look back within yourself and say, that is a negative, that is an unwholesome deed. Do I still have that in me? If I do, I better watch it, because that is not something that I want to do. That is one way of changing your own mind. You see, and it needs only a little bit. It's not something that you have to really, you know, work hard at or anything, but it's just that little flip. Okay, the flip of not thinking about what other people say or do, you just learn from them, from what is it that people do or say. If you see something that is unwholesome, you watch yourself. You say that it's unwholesome. Let me see, do I still have that? Oh, okay, I think I still have that. Or you remind yourself and you keep that in mind, in your mind. Later on, the next day or the next week, or you never know, you encounter something similar, you encounter somebody who has a lot better than you, wear better clothing, jewelry, or whatever, have better car, better house, nice car. And then when that jealousy or the hatred feeling arise, now you begin to say, oh, wait a minute. Okay. See, I didn't like this feeling in other people, but now I see this unwholesome thought or feeling arise within me. But I know this is not a wholesome thing. So you catch it. You see? That's how you learn. That's one way that you learn. Because we all know, human mind, we all possess wholesome and unwholesome faculties. Okay? We all have that. And if we don't watch it, they proliferate, they flourish, they grow, you know, they multiply like crazy without us knowing. Right? So that's why the Buddha taught us about what? Citta, right? About the mind. Okay? So the Buddha taught about citta, the mind, and what else? Citta sikkha, which is the mind faculties or the mind ingredients, right? And so what are the mind ingredients? Remember, there are 52 kinds, right? There are 52 ingredients that can pop up, that can form together and make a mind, right? That give us certain feeling. Okay, so the different ingredients form in our mind due to the different triggers, that we encounter in our life, everyday life. And how do we encounter, how do we experience those? Through our five sense doors, right? Our five sense doors are the gates. They are the doors that let us experience the world. Our five sense doors bring in the information to our sixth sense, right? The processing unit plus a memory bank, and that form a mental object within our mind, right? All the different experiences that we encounter, all the information, the seeing, the hearing, the smelling, the tasting, and the touching, the tactile sensation of the body, all this information come in through the five gates or the five sense doors. Okay, so these five gates, these are the gates, these are the doors for us to experience, to interact with everything here. Okay, I mean, of course, there are people who only have four doors. They could be hard of hearing, or they could be blind. Or lately, people who have COVID, they lost the sense of smell or the sense of taste, right? But all of these sense doors here are gates, the doors that let us experience the world. Okay, they bring in all those experiences into our sixth sense. And the sixth sense plus the memory that we have, right, form an idea, form an object which we call a mental object in our mind. Okay, so that mental object that the mind form inside of us, let's say when you hear something you like or you don't like, okay, so the like or the not like or the don't like is a mental object. Okay? You follow me? It's a feeling. Okay? Excuse me a second. It's a feeling. So, a feeling that we have, it's an emotion. The emotion that we have, so that is a reaction. The reaction that we have, okay, the mental reaction, is an object of the mind. Okay, you follow that? So this is not like a concrete material object like a chair, or, you know, a fan, or car, or a guitar, or a desk. It's not that kind of object. It's the mental object. Okay? It's an object, or it's a perception. Okay? Which, yes, it is an object. So, the feeling that we have is a mental object. It's an object that is produced by our mind. Okay, so this very mental object or mind object is how we identify ourselves with. Okay? So, that's why we become what? When we don't like somebody, we get upset, we become upset. So, the mental object, quote-unquote, label as upset arise. Okay? And so, that is an object of the mind. It's that object of the mind called upset. Now, the thing is, we identify ourselves with that object. That is the problem. Okay? That is the problem. We identify ourselves with that mental object, with the mind-created object, that I am upset. When in fact, it is an object that is created by the mind. The mind did not like that particular voice. The mind does not like that particular vision, what the mind see, what the eyes see. So the mind create an a mental object. The mind forms an object within itself, which is called like or dislike. That's purely the products of the mind. Okay? That is purely the product of the mind. The mind, that what the mind does. The mind forms the opinions. Okay? The mind makes judgment. Right? So, the mind, when the mind forms an opinion, makes judgment, it's a form, it's a mind object. That particular feeling is an object of the mind. And the mind does that. Okay? And the mind does that beautifully. Okay? The mind sees something that is pleasant. The mind don't just stop there. Okay? If the mind sees something pretty, a flower, the mind don't just stop there. The mind creates story behind it. Okay? When the mind sees somebody beautiful, the mind develops all the things behind it. The mind don't just see a beautiful person. Okay? The mind creates other objects on top of seeing. It creates this feeling of like or not dislike. Okay? The mind is very good with comparing. It compares itself to others. Am I better? Am I worse? Am I equal? And all that. So the mind creates an object, which is called feeling. Okay? And that object becomes who we are. Okay? So we have that feeling inside of us. When we identify ourselves with that mind object, then we become that mind. Okay? But here's the thing though. Because our mind changes, we change. Well, how does that happen? It's because we encounter different experience, right? So at one moment, the mind creates the object that is called jealousy. Okay? The mind is jealous at a certain person. The mind is upset with a certain situation. Okay, so the mind is doing that. And then that mind arises and then it falls away. Okay, it falls away and new experience come. The mind will grab on to the new experience. Okay, so when, let's say the mind create this object that is called jealousy. You see somebody who has a nicer car, better house, beautiful wife or beautiful husband or whatever. Your mind create an object inside that's called jealousy. So that happens for a certain moment, and then you turn around and you see somebody else. You look at her, and then all of a sudden you see your friend coming and say goodbye. Your mind change, and different emotion arise. Okay, now your mind see a smiley face of a friend that the mind used to like, and now the mind create a new object. Okay, the mind create a new object, and that new object is called like or dislike. So let's say you see a friend who you like. So the mind create a like object, and it, as you know, the mind precedes all speech and activity, right? So with the like object arise, the mind produces a smile. Okay, so now you see the two different scenarios that the mind change. It let go of one object and it grab on to a new object, and now your mind is engaging with your friend. While you are engaging with your friend, all of a sudden something else come along, and your mind flip again to that new experience, create new objects that it holds on to. It could be a brief few seconds, half a minute or whatnot, and it can flip back to your friends. But that's how the mind works. The mind keep creating mental object from one object to the next based on the experiences that the five senses bring to us. Okay? So that's the function of the mind. And that's what the mind does day in and day out. Day in and day out. It keeps processing like this. It keeps doing it like this. As long as we identify ourselves with this process, with this mind, we are caught up in that different scenario that the mind create. Okay, different scenario, different feelings arise and fall away. Okay, depending on what the mind is producing. You see? So the mind is producing things based on its experience, and the poison that the mind has, as we all know, the three poison that is embedded, that are embedded within all of us, is in the 12 unwholesome ingredients, right? The 12 unwholesome ingredients that we all have. Okay? It is embedded in us, in every single one of us. And those unwholesome ingredients, they grow very easily. Okay, you name it, anger, hatred, jealousy, okay, greed, or in the 12 kinds of unwholesome ingredients, they proliferate very fast. All right? So when the mind keeps producing that, and then we identify that. We identify ourselves with the mind, and the mind keeps creating that object. Okay? Now, the mind is very good with clinging, because once the mind grabs hold on to some kind of feeling, certain feeling, and it keeps going at it. Okay? And now the mind is spinning. When the mind keeps spinning on the same thing over and over again, cannot let go, now that feeling grows, it becomes like a monster. Okay, if it is an unwholesome object, mental object, then it becomes a monster. For example, like anger, hatred, okay, sadness, anxiety, depression. See, all of this, the mind creates this object that when it keeps holding on to it, it builds up and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, because that's what the mind does. And for a lot of people who do not know about what the mind does, of course, people would identify themselves with that very object, that very mind object, mental object. They could not realize that that is just a product of the mind. I mean, and obviously, it's of no one's fault, because this kind of teaching only exists in Buddhism. Okay, this kind of teaching is only taught by the Buddha. No one else teach about this kind of mind function. Only the Buddha. Okay, so for those who fortunate enough to come across this kind of teaching, okay, a unique teaching here, is very fortunate, because you get to understand how your mind works. Okay, the mind forms this mental object, and the mental object keep coming up, and it passes away. It keeps coming up, it passes away, right? The mental object that the mind creates based on the experiences through the five sense doors. You see? Now, go back to the example I have about my wife. When she said, okay, instead of being upset or angry or, you know, frustrated with whoever, you know, gossiping or having jealousy or whatnot, instead of getting mad at them, she said, I flip and look within. So, at that time, what happened to the mental object? Instead of letting the unwholesome mental faculties grows, right? She flips things around and look at herself, at her own mind, and say, hey, I need to clean this up. Okay? I don't need to have this unwholesome deed to grow within. Because of that, there's no unwholesome mental object arise. You see? There's no unwholesome mental object arise within the mind. And therefore, there is no aggravation. And there is your peace of mind right there. You don't have to do anything. It's there. You see? So, mental object is just that. But, so, you have to come to that to a realization that mental objects are formed all the time. And that is the function of the mind. It's nothing right. There's nothing wrong. It just is. That's how it is. That's how we come to experience life. Okay? So, the five sense doors, or you can call the gates to the manifestation, can be the gates to heaven that you can enjoy what the world has to offer, or they can be gates to hell when you think about is about negative thought, which is all are mental objects. See, the mind creates all those different objects and you're not aware of it. You see? The different mental objects that the mind form, it change, and it's churning all the time. As soon as you wake up, there comes the mind. Right? As soon as you wake up, there comes the mind. And it's churning. If you identify yourself with that mind, that you are lost with it. Because that mind identifies itself as that I am this, I am that. That mind does not know that it's just a phenomenon. It's just an automatic process of a mental function that is, you know, it's developing all the time, that is working all the time. It's an automatic process. It's an energy cycle, in a way, you know, that is processing all this. As long as you have good eyes, eyeball and all that stuff, it processes information. Your eyes process information. Your ears, you have, as long as you have good eardrum, good, you know, things working, you can always hear. You will always hear sound. You cannot stop what people say or do or whatever. The ear will process the sound by itself. Okay, so they are all independently function, you know, by themselves. They have no opinion, but they bring this information in, and the mind process them, and it forms this mental objects that make us think who we are. I see, I hear, I smell. But in actuality, it's the mind that does the seeing, the mind that does the hearing, the mind that does the smelling, the tasting, and the feeling, the sensation. It's the mind that does all that, not you. So where are you? You see, where are you? If you identify yourself with all with the different formation here, then that you is the ego, right? The real you, where is the real you? Who is that person in the mirror? Who? See, where is the real you behind all of this mental object? Okay, ask yourself. The mental object, the mind is doing all this. And then you say, okay, this is the mind. If I'm not this, I'm not this, if I'm not the mind, who am I? Okay, so listen to what I just said. This mind object. The mind object is formed within the mind. Okay? The mind object is formed within the mind. So, from the mind, which is citta, okay? From the mind, which is the base, mind object arise. You follow? From the mind object arise based on different experiences that the five senses encounter. So, as long as we identify ourselves with the mind objects, we are lost, because the mind objects, as we all know, rise and fall, rise up and falls away, rise up and falls away. It changes from one experience to the next with different feeling, with different emotion, due to different reaction, and it creates speech, it creates action, it creates karma. Right? So, the mind objects arise from the mind. Okay? So now you have a mind at the base. Okay? Remember, citta, the mind. And then citta sikkha, mind ingredients. With the mind ingredients, the mind form mental objects or mind objects. And we, as normal people, we have been accustomed to identify ourselves with the different mental objects, different mind objects. That is always changing from one moment to the next. In other words, we've been living on the surface. We have never been get in touch with the base mind. We are living with the mind objects. Okay? We've been living with the mind objects. The mind objects happy, we say we are happy. The mind objects say it's sad, like, dislike. That's who we think we are. We are sad, we are happy, and we angry, we are depressed, anxious, whatever. That's how we identify ourselves with the mind objects. We have never been get to know a true mind, which is at the base. At the base, it's just pure mind. You see? A lot of analogy about the mind, and the mind object is the blue sky and the cloud. I'm sure you heard about this before. The mind is the clear blue sky at the background. And mind objects or mental objects, those are the passing clouds. The clouds that come by and then passing and gone. For most of us, we never get to experience the blue sky at the background. We identify ourselves with the passing clouds that is always rising and falling and passing away. That's our problem. That is our problem. Okay? So that's why it's so important for us to understand how those dark cloud, gray cloud, rain cloud, white cloud, the different mind object, how do they arise? What are the ingredients? Unwholesome ingredients, wholesome ingredients, what are they? There are 52 of them that they combine together, you know, and form different kinds of mental objects. And you know how many mental objects that the mind can create with those 52 ingredients? There are only 89 kinds of objects. Okay? That's what the Buddha discovered. There are only 89 kinds of mental objects. Or if you want to describe it in details, there are 121 kinds of mental objects. The Buddha broke it down one by one. Okay? Those different ingredients we all need to understand. And as I mentioned before, there are three groups. Those 52 ingredients are divided into three groups of chittasika or mind faculties, right? And they form different mind objects, wholesome or unwholesome, or neither wholesome nor unwholesome. Okay, they are different kinds of mental objects that we identify ourselves with. But remember, all those objects are formed out of the base, which is called citta. Am I? Access our mind. In order to access our real mind, our true mind, which is at a different dimension, different level of mind, you need to go beyond this changing phenomenon of mental object. Okay, so how do you do that? How do you access your mind? Okay, how do you access that background of the sky, the blue sky? Because right now, you identify yourself with the different cloud. How do you access that? It's a state of Zen. How do you access that state of Zen? a state of just be. You have to go beyond the thinking mind. Right? The thinking mind is at the surface. But the state of Zen, or the not thinking mind, or the background, or citta, is at the background. Now that is at a different dimension. How do you access that? For those of you who have dogs, I love dogs. For those of you who have dogs, or just if you don't, try, just go along with me a little bit. When you walk your dog, you know, in the country here, I'm not sure about in Asia, or poor country, it's hard to understand this a little bit. But in the US, in the European country, in the developed world, when they have dogs and they often walk the dogs, you know, walk in the park or whatnot every day, you know. But so when you walk your dog, observe. When there's no disruption, you know, during the walk, okay? When there is no disruption during the walk, you just walk along peacefully, and your dog walk along with you with two little ears, you know, pointing up, and he or she just, you know, trotting in next to you, just walk with a face smile, with a tongue hanging out, okay? And she just walk on and look and walk and smile. And that's it. That is the state of Zen. Okay? Not when the dog see other dog and they start to having issue or barking. That is not the state of Zen. The state of Zen is when the dog is just walk. Okay? Just walk, and all they do is just walk, and they just enjoy. They just look around, okay? They look back, they look, and they just walk. And no thinking. That is the background mind. No thinking. Now, when you take a walk, do you experience that? Or you always think, you always have your mind on your cell phone, your smartphone, or your mind, and you're always somewhere else. You see? That's why a lot of time when you go on a vacation, you go to a retreat, you go to a mountain, you know, especially in the morning, you come out, you open the door out of the resort, you look out to the valley, to the canyon, to the big wide open ocean, and all you have to do is say, ah. Right there. That's the state of Zen. No thinking. See? No thinking. You just there. Clear. And no opinion. No thinking. Just there. See? That is the mind at the base. From there, you have all kinds of mind objects coming from there. Because when you experience life, now you have experienced commotion. Right? Based on why is it that we have all this kind of commotion in life? What is it that disturbs the mind? What? What is it that disturbs your mind? It's greed, the three poisons. Remember? Greed, anger or hatred, and then ignorance, of course. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the mind itself. Ignorance of life. With that ignorance, life becomes chaotic. And you lost the state of Zen, which is always there with you. But you never get to experience it, because you are so caught up with the daily activities, the busy of life, trying to get this and achieve that, and you forget to take a little break and experience yourself. You need to access that state of Zen more often, every single moment that you have the opportunity. Bring yourself back to who you are. Okay, so that's one way of understanding about your own mind. Okay, that's what I have for you all today. Hopefully that is also something that you can benefit from. And as always, if you like, leave me a message or a voicemail. Until next time, Namaste.